plate a potential nugget.
And to maybe bring the third variable in, prompts. And you call prompts the low-hanging, you call it the low-hanging fruit of behavioral change. Why so?
Oh, because it's just, we can design prompts in and out of our life pretty easily. So a prompt is anything that reminds you or cues you or triggers you to do a behavior. I'm using all of those as synonyms. It's the thing that says, do this now. Mm-hmm. And there are various sources. There's basically three categories of prompts. And in Tiny Habits, the category we use is you use your existing routine to be the prompt. And that's different, and that's a breakthrough. And that means you don't use the other category, what I call context prompts, which is post-its, alarms, other people, notifications, all those things that annoy us. You don't use that in the Tiny Habits method. Instead, you use something that's natural, something that's already built into your life, an existing routine, and then you anchor your new habit to that existing routine. And so it's, and that insight didn't come to me for a while later. So I knew motivation, ability, how they work together. And I knew that making something super simple would let you be consistent in creating a habit. But then it's like, how do you prompt it? How do you prompt it? And then that just happened, like a lot of breakthroughs. You know, there's literally was getting out of the shower and it's like, oh my gosh, it's after. You figure out what this comes after and you use the preceding behavior to remind you of the next thing, this new habit that you want. And so then it was, then it all clicked. And then I knew I had all the pieces in place because it always comes back to just motivation, ability, prompt. And then I knew I had, here's this breakthrough way of habits where you're hacking three things. One, you're making the behavior super tiny, so you don't need much motivation. Two, you are prompting it through something you already do, an existing routine that we call an anchor in Tiny Habits. And then three, you manipulate your emotion so your brain takes notice and goes, whoa, that feels good. I want to do that again in the future. And so you don't leave that to chance. You deliberately celebrate and cause that emotion to fire off, which then changes the regulation of dopamine in the brain.
Got it. And if maybe you talk about the, you know, brushing and flossing analogy, right? And if I apply it to my life, you know, I often say, tell myself that, yes, after I brush, I should floss and maybe start with one tooth. But sometimes my memory fails me and I just sort of move on to something else. Mm-hmm. Even if we stick with that notion of attaching a tiny habit on the back of an action that we already do, how do we sort of remind ourselves to do the tiny habit? Is there some nuance there in the way we make that connection?
Yeah, there's all of this is a system. In fact, that's the I think what I'm proudest about the book Tiny Habits is like, hey, everybody, there's a system behind human behavior. It's not guesswork. There's a way to systematically understand it, systematically design for it, and so on. And it's simpler than you think. So let me touch two parts of the system of how to get an effective anchor that will remind you to do the habit. First, from the beginning, as you're designing the tiny habit, what's called the recipe. It's like, okay, how do you make it super tiny? A floss one tooth. What does it come after? And so this is a design challenge, not a willpower challenge. So you look around and say, well, what does flossing naturally come after in my life? And for pretty much everybody, it's after you brush. Now, for other types of habits, it may not be so obvious. Let's say somebody wants a meditation habit and they scale it back to just three breaths. And they go, okay, when does taking three meditative breaths, or at least calming breaths, where does that fit? What does it come after? And so they have to do a bit of design and maybe a bit of exploration. And it probably doesn't come after you turn on the TV. That's not going to, after I turn on the TV, I'll take three calming breaths. Nah, not the right place. It might be after you empty your spam folder, after you sit down at work. It could be after you start the coffee maker. So you design, just like you would say, where does this new painting go in our home? You consider options and you pick one. And if it doesn't work there, then you try another one. And that's a big part of the Tiny Habits method, is you design the new habit. And if it doesn't work, you redesign it. You don't beat yourself up. You don't cause yourself to feel bad, because it's not a willpower or a discipline issue. It's a design issue. Just like putting a new painting on a wall where it doesn't work well, that's not a discipline or a willpower flaw. That's a design issue. So first of all, you get better and better at how to design things in your life. Then if it's really not sticking, like you're really not remembering to do the flossing, then there's a technique that this, I'm just warning everybody listening, you're going to think this is crazy at first, but you rehearse the sequence of behaviors with a celebration. In other words, you accelerate habit formation by drilling over and over. And I don't mean like 100 times. I'm talking 7 to 10 times, where you would pretend like you're done brushing. You'd set your brush down. You'd pick up the floss. You'd floss one tooth and go, good for me, and smile in the mirror, or whatever your celebration is. And then you would do it again immediately. Pretend like you're brushing, put your brush down, pick up your floss, celebrate. And drill that sequence with a celebration, and do that 7 to 10 times. Now, I know people are going to think I'm crazy for suggesting this. However, if you understand that habit formation is a skill, and the way you nail habits is the same way you nail other skills, where you, like, if you want to be great at golf, you practice putting. If you want to be great at tennis, you do serves over and over. Basketball, you practice the three-point shots over and over. Same thing with habits. You can actually drill and practice. But in this case, you also celebrate. So you're accelerating the speed of habit formation. Now, that's what you do if it doesn't wire in naturally. There's some habits you design and boom, they just click. Just they're done, one and done. But the ones that just don't seem to be sticking and you don't want to redesign it, then you go to this drill. Now, I think in the future, this might be 10 years from now, it will be common practice that you do this from the beginning. Any new habit you want, great. Walk through the behavior sequences, do the anchor, do the new tiny behavior, and celebrate and do it over and over. And I'm going to predict that's going to just be standard practice at some point in the future. And that's what you do at the beginning to wire in a habit, not as end of your rope troubleshooting technique.
Got it. There's a personal reason I asked this question. I've believed in the system of homeopathy to cure some of the chronic issues I've faced, such as wheezing when I was a child. I once went to the homeopath to get some medicines to improve my memory because I realized that I was forgetting things and I had to excessively rely on reminders and devices. The doctor duly prescribed some medicines for me to consume, but the paradox is that I kept forgetting to eat the medicines. So back to the question that I asked BJ, if I look at my current context, take a habit that I've been trying to incubate, I have bad teeth and I know that flossing is good for me and I should do it after I brush my teeth every day. But I often forget to make that connection when I finish brushing my teeth. So BJ emphasizing on a mini celebration is an interesting point, something that I hadn't thought about explicitly. It sounds silly, but if years of neuroscience research supports it, then might as well put up with the silliness and get on with it. Thank you for listening. If you find this of value, do take a moment to visit the podcast archives at playtopotential.com. You might specifically like the section Curated Playlists, where about 500 plus podcast nuggets have been painstakingly curated by theme for easy access.